Good afternoon and welcome to Sonoma Central Library Brown Bag Seminar Series. We're very pleased to have you all today. And today we're very happy to present three of Noah's own, John Bortniak, John Vig, and Laura Ekstrom. And they're on the Noah Evaluation Committee. They're going to be talking about performance and measurements and program evaluation and the difference between the two. So this is a really good time of year to be talking about these issues. So go ahead and take it away. And we are recording the session. It will be on the website next week if you miss any finer points today.
Happy lunch. I'm Lori Ekstrand, and I'm from PPI, and I'm the one that's not John. With me is John Bortniak from Fisheries and John Beck from the Office of Education. We want to have a pretty interactive session today. We have some slides to go through, but we encourage questions all the way along. If we don't get through the slides, we have the priority stuff up front, so we won't die from it. But this will be the start of a series of brown bags. We're hoping to have one a month over the next year on performance measurement and program evaluation issues. So John Bortniak is going to get us started.
Well, welcome. This is the first of what we hope will be a fairly long series of sessions on performance evaluation, performance monitoring, all related issues. I wanted to start out by giving a little bit of history. In May of 2011, NOAA formed a joint strategy and evaluation committee, the purpose of which was to improve evaluation in NOAA. The primary outcome or recommendation of that group was that we needed to develop a standing committee within NOAA, of which we are a breakout working group for training. The purpose or goals of that committee would be to build evaluation capacity in NOAA, integrate evaluation into the C process, develop guidance, policy, best practices, develop a library on evaluation, collecting material that we've gathered, making it accessible, and to make completed evaluations accessible so that they are available for all to see results. Let's see.
Oh, good start.
It was advancing.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Did this go to sleep, maybe? It's not advancing. Yeah.
It's on a presentation mode. You're in a PDF.
Just hit page down.
Okay, go for it.
Try it. There we go.
Ta-da!
Okay. So, This topic is on performance measurement and program evaluation. So what are they? Performance measurement is ongoing monitoring. It's really about performance measures, milestones, keeping track of your current progress. Program evaluations are more in-depth studies. In some cases, we've called them deep dives for some purposes. But it's looking into the why of performance. Going on to the slide, unfortunately these don't have slide numbers, so the slide that says a really good analogy, performance measurement you could think of as the idiot light up on your dashboard. You have a few performance measures in place, they give you a quick readout, and it's like you're driving along and the check engine light comes on. So now you know something's not quite right. You need to look into this a little further. But that's about all it really tells you, not why the engine light came on. Program evaluation is like taking it into the garage and the mechanic connects up his computer and says your oxygen sensor is not working and your engine's overheating, maybe the water pump. So you get under there and start working on it, and pretty soon you get your engine light to go back out and you're back in business again. And I think that's probably the best way to think of these two. One, you're getting in and really looking at the mechanics. The other is just keeping an eye on the readings. Why do I care? Let's see. Well, both of them are important for good management. But what we discovered was performance management really consists of two parts, performance monitoring and the program evaluation. And to have good management, you just simply can't have good performance management without having those two components. They have to complement each other. Moving on to the slide entitled What Gets Measured, performance measurement is your checking your progress, primarily your performance measures and your milestones. There are a variety of reporting processes that would take a look at that. The program evaluation may require new surveys. You bring in expertise. You really get under the hood. You may have to look at social aspects that you normally would not collect, going out into communities, all sorts of other things. And one of the things that would be very difficult for us to do would be to look at the net effects. In other words, we have a performance measure where we're looking at what progress we can make with targets, but are we really responsible for the whole result of that target? So a deep evaluation would look at, what if the program hadn't existed? Would the target have made some progress on its own due to other reasons? So what is the net effect? Are you really moving forward due to the program's effort? And the slide on entitled Use, as I mentioned before, performance measures are used in a variety of periodic reports, balanced scorecard reporting, quarterly reviews, semi-annual reports, and other things of that nature. The program evaluation checks the program progress or program effectiveness. You may look at efficiency of dollars spent per unit moved forward on the measure. Are there other ways to get the same effect, spending the same amount of money or less money? Identifying effective practices, what things worked, what things were more or less a waste of effort, they didn't really move you forward. Any opportunities that you might not have thought about, but during this evaluation process, you would identify opportunities to improve. Success of any corrective actions. You may have taken some actions to improve the program, but are they working? This is an opportunity during an evaluation to look at that. It can guide resource allocations. If most of our results are from some aspects of the work we do, you know, the 80-20 rule kind of thing, maybe that's where you need to put the effort. Maybe you'd identify that you are on the right track, you just don't have enough funding to put forward on this. And along that line, an evaluation supports your budget request. An evaluation indicating this program is good and it's working is probably going to be very useful in front of Congress to get your money. On the other hand, if you find there are problems in your program, you may need to improve that before Congress is going to be willing to continue funding. And I will pass it over at this point. We're a tag team effort today, so
let's pause here for a second. There's a lot of definitions going on, and certainly we have a lot of people here in the room. I think probably more than we anticipated, right?
We thought it was August.
Maybe it'd be good to check in with people, you know, those who are in the room, those who are on the phone, you know, what kinds of challenges, how do these definitions kind of fit with you? You know, what are the issues for you in terms of performance measurement and program evaluation? Do you see these as challenges? Yes?
So in your definition, performance measurement include milestones? Did I pick up on this?
Okay. Right, so just for people on the phone, the question was, inclusive in the definition of performance measurement are milestones? Right. Any thoughts on that?
I would say they are. I mean, you know, performance measurements come in all kinds of you know, levels of insignificance and importance. So, you know, if you've set milestones and then you're measuring whether you are reaching milestones, you know, then those can be counted as a performance measure. They might not ultimately be the measures that you're going to report on overall NOAA documents, but they're incredibly important to the programs so that they know that they're on track. So when they do ultimately get to those measures that have to be reported, they know whether they're going to make it or not, or whether they need to make adjustments.
Well, in some cases, milestones can equate to the unit of measure. You know, if you had, just generically, if you had a performance measure to produce 6 widgets, each milestone might be the production of 1 widget. And if you only got to 5, you know, you identify the milestone that failed, and there's a direct relationship. So that'd be one case where they fit very closely.
Just one last comment on that question. Milestones, I think, is more of a terminology to project management. And so I think there's an overlap there. To me, I would say milestones probably more equivalent to targets. So you're trying to, you know, let's say improve performance to achieve a certain level of performance. So you might set a target, and by achieving that as a milestone, that you might continue to improve, find ways to continue to improve. So I think that's they're similar, but not exactly the same. You had a question.
So performance measurements, performance metrics in NOAA is a huge challenge, and we have very few great ones, some acceptable ones, some not so good ones. How critical to program evaluation is having good performance metrics in place?
Just for those on the phone, long question, I'll try to summarize. The quality of a performance measurement is quite difficult. Getting a good one, if you can get there, is a big challenge. And then, to what extent are those metrics include
having good ones? Having good metrics in place to a program evaluation.
So, if you don't have a good one in place, does that mean you can't do a good program evaluation?
The answer is yes. You know, if you have not collected good measures over time, then you kind of missed your chance to be opportunistic about having a baseline or having any kind of time series design that would help you in the program evaluation. You know, it's not fatal because, you know, there are heroic measures that can be used and expensive measures
to go back
and reconstruct things or find other similar groups that you can make comparisons to. But because so much in program evaluation depends on having a good comparison base, and one of your best comparison bases is how your program has been operating over time, those performance measures get incredibly important.
And if you have a good suite, you should be able to use it for management purpose to make decisions such as, if I fund this activity, I would move forward 3 units. And if I fund this activity, I might only go forward 1. Which one should I fund? If it's a good, well-tuned set of measures, it should be a management tool.
So I'll go the opposite way and say it's not necessarily, it depends on what you're looking. A program evaluation may look at things that are different from your performance, day-to-day performance. It may look at questions of, you know, how you implement your program, what's your process. It may look at the real nature of the impact for which you don't really have control, but you would like to see, you know, kind of case studies of impact. Again, that's not necessarily connected with your performance metrics. So it depends. But if you're looking for a program evaluation that really looks at kind of success of your program, you know, having a good set of metrics in place already makes that job a lot easier. So it depends. You had a question in the back, and then you're
yeah.
next.
Yeah. Jean-Pierre, John knows this question. We've talked about it. I'm Fisheries International. What we struggle with is writing good performance measures that, you know, that focus on outcomes, not outputs. in the work that we do, I mean, we all deal with the fact that there are things we can't control. In our work in international, it's even more complex because we don't control the international, we don't control how decisions are made. Can you give some insight as to how, you know, we could develop, you know, some meaningful performance measures along those lines?
So for those on the phone, the question was, you know, developing outcome measures is incredibly challenging, particularly in the context of international. Do we have any advice for that, for developing good outcome measures?
I guess I think that, you know, plan A, because outcome measures generally require data outside of your program to confirm that, you know, that an outcome actually has taken place, because usually the outcomes are outside of the program, beyond the program, something that has some environmental factors affecting it as well. You know, the first thing to do is look at whether there are other measures that are collected by other organizations that might be helpful. A lot of times that's not even possible. You know, so and sometimes it's just going to be too expensive and too difficult and infeasible to collect those outcome measures. But what I would contend is what you have to do at that point is to at least be able to articulate a carefully crafted case as to how your output measures are going to affect outcomes. And that, you know, that should be clear and concise and something that is believable to the outside world in terms of how that connection is supposed to work. You know, if you can't articulate that case, you know, I think you got a problem.
Which really means that you need a suite of measures from high-level outcomes down to your outputs, and to try and show a connection as we do in the logic models.
Mm-hmm. Follow up with that question, would you recommend that outcome measures, to the extent possible, be constructed in a way that the entity has direct control to a certain extent in that outcome measure? I mean,
it's so case specific. I mean, it really, really depends on, you know, and how much control the program has over outcomes and, you know, whether they can make that reach or not. I would suggest that that they search for things that they can measure, even if it's surrogates for what they really want to measure, and see what they can construct and, you know, make that best effort. And as I said, and if they're really unable to get at those outcome measures, then I would at least want to see a convincing case as to how they think they are, in fact, affecting outcomes.
So a metaphor that I have in mind, I have two different thoughts on that. One is, you know, if you're a doctor, your outcome is someone's, your patient's individual health. What you're suggesting is, all right, I want to make that directly my control, so I'm going to control everything about, you know, in certain most projects here, we just don't have that. It's just not within the scope of our agency, of our mandate, of our organization. Certain things are just never going to be within our control. So we work through partners. We have any number of strategies to trying to get to those outcomes. Ultimately, most outcomes that we really care about are contributing across any number of different factors, of which we try to influence one of them, or more than one of them. If you can control that, then yeah. If we can control climate, then yes, you know, that would be great. But that's just never going to happen.
And on some outcome measures, the time lag or just the time period to see results can be so far out into the future that it's hard to make the connection. Maybe you did influence the right whale, but you only do the survey every 5 years to see that it's risen by 3% or something. And is that significant? I won't know till another 5 years when I see another 3% increase. So it may be the right measure, and still it's difficult to know that you're the influence on it. or maybe climate change or something is causing the right whales to die off from lack of food or something. And do you know that? And, you know, is that the right measure?
We have another question in the back.
So following up on some of the things that I've heard and adding a question to it, one of the big issues that I've also encountered is when multiple programs feed into a single performance measure. And when we're talking about not being able to do a big program evaluation, if you don't have a good performance measure, have a good performance measure, you don't have a good program evaluation, it's sort of a catch-22, or at least I think, when we have multiple programs that are actually impacting the performance measure, and all the success of all of them, or 90% of them, is important to actually furthering that measure. Would you recommend, what are you defining as a program? Yes, because there's different levels of granularity, depending on who you're talking to. And then B, would you recommend a performance measure that's maybe lower in granularity, that's a one-to-one program, or something that is outcome-based that's more holistic, even though you don't necessarily see as much impact on a per-program basis?
So I'm going to try to summarize that for those on the phone. The question was, sometimes you have multiple programs trying to really achieve a single outcome, and do you look for, I forgot part A already, but
what's the program,
which is not an easy question, and then B is, do you maybe have multiple measures at different levels, or a single one, or multiple? So, any thoughts on that?
My answer to that is yes. I think that the way you define a program, it depends on the circumstances. You know, I mean, if these programs are so mutually intermingled in what they're doing and what their desired outcome is, you know, then it sounds like it makes sense for this to be considered one single program, even if the funding streams are different or the contributing offices are different. However, if from an overall NOAA perspective, that might be the right way to measure it. But in other circumstances, if your particular office needs to demonstrate that they are providing the input to this particular conglomeration of programs to make a difference, then you might want to be measuring at the program level. So it depends on what the purpose is of the analysis, what the right measurements are. You know, and in terms of the issue of program, you know, that can really fluctuate. You know, you can go down to a sub-program level. You can even say, I'm going to develop performance measures for just this conference or just this meeting to determine whether it had a positive impact. You know, so it's what's the program is very circumstantial, you know, and what the measurement is the same kind of thing, where it depends on the purpose.
Question?
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about when you're in the process of designing a performance measure, mechanisms for verifying that it is going to be a good one, so that you don't get down the road and, you know, years later you find out it's worthless?
I actually have an entire presentation planned all about writing good performance measures that's coming up.
Yeah, so, it'll be one of the series of programs.
Yeah, you have some. There are generally some general criteria.
Programs like to test them before you put them in your toolbox.
Well, if you have information from past performance on this measure, and that can be somewhat helpful. One thing that information of past performance over time can tell you is whether there are radical shifts in this measure over time, or if the measure is just so flatlined over time that you're not really going to be able to ascertain any change. If there are perhaps changes significant changes in the level of a program, and you can look at what's been measured in the past and see that those changes have some tracking with the measure, you know, then that's helpful information. But it's really, in terms of what's a good measure is a substantial judgment call in many cases. Another thing you have to look at is, can this measure be collected efficiently? Can this measure be collected reliably? That is, everybody that's collecting the information for the measure knows how to collect it, is doing it the same way, is confirming that whatever they're putting into a database is the right information. They have a check on that to make sure that the data are input correctly. You know, all of those things go into the mix. So there are multiple layers there in terms of making a good measure.
I was thinking mainly in terms of just validating that it's not confounded by a bunch of other factors.
Well, that's very difficult.
How do you validate you're really getting a good measure?
Well, the problem there is that if you're really going to validate that your measure isn't confounded by other factors, then you're in the world of program evaluation, because then you have to dig much deeper and try to ascertain how much influence these other factors have on whatever it is you're measuring. So, you know, that requires a whole lot of additional work that involves a program evaluation so that you can go beyond what your program is controlling and try to get the net effect of just your program. In order to do that, you just have to rule out everything else, and that ruling out is often time-consuming program evaluation work.
Have you ever seen an example where that was done?
Oh, sure. I can tell you about one example. Well, you know, maybe we'll do it offline, but one example of this took $43 million to ensure that the net effect was obtained. So, it ain't cheap and it ain't easy. And so you have to decide whether it's worthwhile to go that extra distance. That's why sometimes you're going to have to just make your logical case as to what the relationship is between output and outcome. And for the time being, live with that, you know, as long as it's something that you feel that can withstand scrutiny and questioning about how it works.
Well, we have another question in the back.
You mentioned earlier that a good performance measurement base would help you with an evaluation, but could go the other way? If you know your performance measurement base is bad, you know you have issues, you need things. Is there a way in the evaluation aspect of a program to come back the other way to get a better measure on a continually monitoring base by doing a fuller, more complex evaluation?
So just to repeat for those on the phone, can program evaluation actually inform performance measurement? I'm just going to jump in. I would say yes. A lot of times establishing good measures takes a lot of work, and program evaluation may be the cheaper option actually, because there's quite a bit of burden in collecting data systematically, integrating it into program budgets. And to really justify that, you might need an external study to really examine a piece. You may actually reveal other measures that you weren't doing day to day. Because you're really doing things more comprehensively than you can necessarily do on a day-to-day basis.
And if a program evaluation demonstrates that there is a positive relationship between your output and outcome, then you can feel more comfortable just relying in the future on that measure of outcome. So for drug treatment programs, when they have demonstrated through a series of program evaluations that a certain method for treating heroin addicts is something that works, then they will allow these programs only to measure how many people completed the program and to assure that they are following the same protocols with working with heroin patients rather than requiring that every single program, every time, has a program evaluation. So if you've already demonstrated through a program evaluation that your output measure is a decent measure, you know, then you're sort of home free for a while.
Right, and the other thing I'll mention is typically you're working with an external evaluator for program evaluation, and having someone external to your organization oftentimes they'll bring a different perspective, they'll ask good questions, and having that other kind of person to think through those things with, well, you may see your program very differently as well, or having to answer those kinds of questions may reveal, oh, this is actually what we considered important, and even though that may not be what you're measuring. So that's another help approach. We put effort into it. So, we have about any number of slides that will look at these different factors and look across the differences here. So, in terms of data. We've talked about some of these aspects already. Performance measurement really focused on kind of what you're doing day to day, you know, your internal documents, your records that you're using to, you know, run the program and administratively. Hopefully that's done on a consistent and routine basis. That's not always the case. I know there's some of you in the room it doesn't always work out that way. But versus program evaluation, you know, we try to take advantage of that data, but also a lot of times we're trying to answer questions that are beyond the scope of what you're doing day to day, and that just requires new data collection. And that typically is where most of the money is going, is collecting, designing new instruments, collecting that information. So let's see, is that right? That's right. Resource time requirements. It can take a lot of time to really develop these. As we're doing in the Education Council, we spent 9 months developing definitions around our performance measures. But once those definitions are really in place, you know, we can move. We're moving fairly fast at this point. So there's a lot more upfront cost. But it really does pay off down the line. Versus program evaluation, you're really planning the evaluation. That can, you know, take a year or more to really plan out thoroughly, because you get one shot at your data collection typically. And so in terms of just time as well, just it can be, you depending on the scope of your question. Program evaluation can be fairly quick, a couple months, or it can take, you know, a year or many years, depending on also the delay in the effect or the scope of your the outcomes that you're looking at. Let's see, who does it? Again, this is kind of the scope. We're looking pretty much internally versus externally. That's kind of the general way to think about this. And you can also partner or hire an evaluator also to maybe manage your data collection. I know some other agencies for which they have standing partnerships with kind of external nonprofits to really work with, and they really handle the data collection for a lot of what's going on. So there's a lot of different structures to doing this. And because data collection is, for us, is also rooted in or connected to PRA issues, sometimes you have to be clever about how that works. Frequency, again, I would say performance measurement here, the timing is also the timing of which you want to make a decision. So if you are only going to make decisions on a biannual basis, well, you just need to inform that process. But if you're trying to be more agile and trying to be responsive to conditions, if things aren't going well, you want to be able to react to it, not wait 2 years before you make a decision on maybe, you know, this has been going on for a while, maybe we should make a decision. So it certainly depends on what you're trying to accomplish. program evaluation, infrequent or not possible, maybe not at all. That's that's something to keep in mind, is that it may just not be the most reasonable approach. So having someone to, and sometimes you can't know that yourself. You have to kind of work with others to figure that out. But some of you have to do it on a regular basis. It's in your mandates, and you have to plan for that. You have to, you know, really integrate an evaluation process, almost like a performance measurement system. I know that Canada has just passed a law that every 5 years, every program, Canadian government program, has to be evaluated every 5 years. That's the law now. So
And we might be heading in that direction, because OMB seems to be pushing more and more towards the possibility of requiring program evaluation. I don't think we're there yet, but might be going there.
We're inching there.
Inching.
Is it? I don't know how many. Where am I supposed to end?
I don't know. I don't care.
I missed. I'll do this last one.
Okay.
So, complexity. A lot of what we do at NOAA is going to be very complex by the very nature of, most of us work in complex partnerships, with state agencies, with nonprofits, with all different types of other federal agencies. So data collection becomes fairly difficult. Understanding what a program is. Even within NOAA, we may have multiple, or cross line offices. These kind of break up our ability to really measure things naturally. Program evaluation is probably the best tool that you're going to need to really deal with that complexity, because it's going to try to look at it as a whole and understand the different interactions within a whatever you define as a program. In terms of this, not all desired changes can be feasibly measured. Sometimes you just recognize that this is an important factor that's happening within a program, and it's just there's no current measure there right now, and the best you can do is identify it. Sometimes that's the case. So.
Should we stop and see if there's any questions, since we're changing talkers?
Right.
So, so far it sounds like it's really hard, it costs a lot, it's generally not conducted by people here anyway, so what's the good news? Like, why should I care?
Well, let me deal with the why should I care process problem, and that is that OMB is looking more and more towards it. I think that the fact is that even though there's not a lot of money at NOAA for program evaluation, there is some money at NOAA for program evaluation. So using it smartly and getting the biggest bang for the buck will be of great value. I think it's pretty easy to waste program evaluation money because I think sometimes when people think they can't do the Cadillac of program evaluation, then they buy something in the used car lot when in fact they could get a Ford, a new Ford. And so I think that, the money might not be enough to do, all the bells and whistle program evaluation. But I don't think that the towel needs to be thrown in. And the hardest ones to do are impact evaluations. But a lot of times you don't need an impact evaluation. What you need is a process evaluation, so you can look at how the program operates internally and try to fix it and make it more efficient and effective. And that's enough. So those things are going to happen, and being smart about it can make a big difference. One other thing I would mention is that NOAA collects more data than I've ever seen in my life, I don't think that it's thoroughly analyzed. You know, and sometimes the data that's already available within an agency with some more sophisticated analysis can answer pretty interesting questions, you know. So that's not exactly free, but it costs a whole lot less than instituting a big-time program evaluation. So I think there are possibilities that are on the cheap and, you know, that could be shown to be effective and shown to be moving in the right direction.
So without
$43,000.
Right. So, yeah, I have a couple of thoughts on that. One is we want to deliver the best public benefits we can. And that means that we need to be doing the best performance that we can. And so we need to know, we need to be able to measure that to know whether we're improving our performance or whether we're failing. And so just to preview a little bit about next month, our speaker next month, well, she has a good argument for Wyatt. So I'll leave it at that, a little teaser. and then just one last, one little kind of anecdote that I heard recently from Shelley Metzenbaum at OMB. This idea of program evaluation integrated within the context of how we do work day to day can have real significant benefits. She was relating a story of a bureau or an agency within Department of Interior that monitors oil rigs in the Gulf, and they were finding that no matter what they did, they just could not get reduction of injuries down. They looked at the data and they said, well, all of these injuries are actually happening at night, and all of our inspections happen during the day. So what if we take 5% of our inspections, let's do them at night, and let's see what the effect is. Well, during those 5% reduction of injuries went down. So now that's going to be a new strategy for integrating, you know, having more inspections. So, and that has a reduction of injuries. So, you know, it's a specific case. It's, you know, you're dealing with more of a problem orientation, which can be, you know, more coherent. But, you know, so that has it's saving lives at that point. So, question?
Yeah, so I think we're using the term program evaluation to broadly to encompass a lot of different types of things. Could you just throw out some examples of the types of questions that actually get asked during a program evaluation? Because I'm sure you don't go to someone and say, just evaluate me. You have a question or a problem that you're trying to solve. So if you could get out some examples of how you would frame those questions, how you frame a program evaluation question well, so that you get a good evaluation product at the end, that would be helpful.
That's a big issue, you know, and it's sort of dependent. But, you know, lots of program evaluation questions are almost never yes or no questions. They are always, to what extent does X result in Y? You know, that kind of wording. And that may be the overall question. And then under that, in order to get to that point, you'd have a lot of sub-questions. You know, so you'd want to ask, what does Y look like? What does X look like? What other factors are affecting X and Y? I'm now talking in terms of some kind of impact evaluation or an outcome evaluation. What are the intervening variables? How did this look over time in relation to X and Y? You know, so those are sort of examples of the kinds of things that might be developed. If it's a process evaluation, then the questions are very different. And, you know, the first part of a process evaluation, and in fact of both, would probably be developing a logic model so you could see how the pieces fit together and look at, you know, even things like how much time this report sits on somebody's desk to be reviewed before they can get to reviewing it, and whether maybe it should go to Fred first instead of to Harry because he doesn't get to it fast and Fred would get to it right away, and, you know, all of those intricacies of how the program works. Or you know, if it's a program that has to recruit other people into it, maybe the recruitment method, a process evaluation might look at what are the recruitment mechanisms and of that audience that you want to recruit, to what extent are they being reached by these recruitment mechanisms? You know, so if you are recruiting people by putting up a web page, you're not going to get people that don't have computers or don't look at web pages. You know, so it's those basic things, those basic building blocks of how, in a process evaluation, of how the program operates, that the program evaluation would be focused on. You know, and they can be broad, or they can be just looking at one narrow part of a process that that you're trying to examine in detail to look at efficiencies and effectiveness.
I'll give you the simple answer.
Good.
And this is very broad, but just to what extent is your program meeting its goals? That's a very simple one. It's not, and Lori just kind of broke all of that down to how you want to think about that, because you're just not answering really that one question. You wind up answering that one question by answering all these other questions. Because those are answerable. This one is just kind of a roll-up of all of those other things.
You know, and sometimes there are 5 sub-questions, to what extent am I achieving my goal?
Right.
And you can only answer 4 of them. Right. So then you have to make a decision. Well, are these data going to be worth it if I can't get everything? You know, and that's, you know, that's just a balancing act between how important are the other data. Is this going to help me make decisions about the program? Or do I need that fifth element? And if I can't get this fifth element, maybe I need to think of another way to learn the effects of the program. So, you know, it's this constant kind of trade-off deal.
Another question?
The results of program evaluations are determined in a large part by who the evaluators are. You know, if you have your friends as evaluators, it's probably going to come out a little more rosy than if you had...
Well, see, that's why you don't do it yourself, because then it's really rosy.
So I'm wondering if, for agencies that do a lot of evaluations, do they have a separate board that verifies that the members of the evaluation committee, and that it's a balanced committee, and you're going to end up with result?
If you hire outside contractors,
NAPA, for example.
You know, if you hire outside contractors, then you know it's carefully scrutinized to make sure that they don't have some kind of insider relationship with the agency. You know, for example, if somebody gets hired at GAO that had worked at NOAA, or their spouse worked at NOAA, or their brother worked at NOAA, they wouldn't be working on any assessments of NOAA. And, you know, it's the same thing with, the kinds of consulting firms that do these evaluations. They are careful to make sure that they do not appear to have any evidence of bias, because you know, their reputation depends on the believability of their findings, and, you know, their future work depends on it. So they're pretty careful about it.
I see a lot of these evaluations are done pro bono, that's maybe, it's not always a contract or paying for the evaluators.
So, you have to evaluate the results.
Right.
Yeah, I'm wondering, do you see a need for some kind of a watchdog or a group that's going to make sure that there's some consistency and balance in all of the NOAA evaluations?
The thing, the AEA's, professional standards. One of the core tenets is independence. So in some sense right now, it's a very self-policing kind of, we have the kind of, if you're going to be an evaluator, you should uphold these standards. Certainly, and I would say also the level of independence is probably, or kind of distance from what you're evaluating, also kind of depends on kind of the the high stake, the level of stakes to the findings as well. You want some, if it's very high stakes, then you certainly want a high level of objectivity. If you need something but certain evaluations do need a very tight integration with the program in order to conduct it, particularly longitudinally. I mean, you just don't, you don't want to come in every 5 years and, or you can't really do a longitudinal evaluation without, having some the established relationship over time. So, any other thoughts on that?
I think about 9 minutes to go.
Yeah,
9 minutes. We move on, are there any people on the phone with questions? I know the people on the phone tend to get marginalized. So remember the *6 to unmute. Give some appropriate wait time. No? Okay.
Okay. Well, let's go through the last couple of slides, and yep. Then we'll wind it up. And the next slide has to do with analysis, and we've actually covered some of this already. Basically, the analysis for performance measures are often, just counts of meeting targets or meeting goals. They can also be made into indices by taking different counts and putting them together in certain ways, but generally it's looking at a count of achievement and often looking at it over time. Now for a program evaluation, generally those analyses are very customized to the situation and not something that would be performed on a regular basis because the program evaluation generally has additional data sources to include. When a program evaluation is trying to look at impact, those analyses can be very sophisticated to try to statistically control all these other factors that might have contributed to an outcome or an impact so that you can just isolate what that program actually did. So the techniques can be pretty involved and statistics are making leaps forward all the time in the way that they can do these things. So, when I started out my career, the possibilities in these areas were relatively limited, and now they're enormous. So you can do more with statistics than you could before. In terms of reporting, that's pretty easy. Most of the time, the performance measurements need to be reported on a periodic basis, and the program evaluations usually have a separate report. I can hardly think of any times when they wouldn't have a separate standalone report. And a lot of times, those findings from the program evaluation will be included in routine agency documents in a summary form, but usually these are reported as standalone. And cost, as we've already talked about, the startup cost for performance measures can be pretty pricey, but once they're put in place, the price goes down substantially. Program evaluations can be extremely pricey, and but getting the best bang for your buck is where you should be focused, and keeping the cost within whatever amount of money you have to deal with. Parting words, to the extent that you can focus on developing good performance measures, you're partway there for program evaluation. It's incredibly helpful to have those things in place. Even if they're not the best in the world, I would argue that they're still good to have in place, because sometimes a measure that's not good for one thing is good for something else. So I wouldn't throw any of them out. You have to have that same systematic thinking with both performance measurement and program evaluation. And so if you start thinking through things in this manner, in kind of a logic model manner, it can help you, even when you're not doing those formal things, just think systematically about how a program operates and what it might produce. logic models are incredibly important. Performance measures and program evaluations can save baby seals. That's the I just can't help myself sometimes. We are going to have Kathy Newcomer here on September 19th. She's the director of the Trachtenberg School of Public Policy and Public Administration at GW. And she's tremendous, and she's going to talk about the interrelationship. We sort of separated them out a little bit, but she's going to talk about the synergy between the two. I definitely encourage you to be here because she's terrific, and she'll be a really good speaker. So we have some information about Kathy on the slide that you probably can't read from the audience, but these are online. So, and finally, we are starting this series, and we have quite a few ideas for what might be good presentations, but we definitely would like to hear from everybody about what they'd like to hear and what their priorities are. So the names of everybody on the committee are here on this slide. So definitely contact us if you have any ideas of what you'd like to see and what would be helpful. Any more questions?
We do have plans to cover logic models and how to write good performance measures, but we'd like to take input from the group on other training topics along these lines.
Just clarification. Is that the training group or the whole evaluation committee?
Training group.
Just our breakout working group, the training?
Training capacity building work group.
Can you include representatives from the rest of the committee so that folks can contact the representatives from your line of staff office?
Sure, we could probably add a slide to this deck. Could we do that? She's telling us yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
We feel like our performance evaluation is good because the front line got filled. We were betting that there wouldn't be enough people in August to sit on the front.
Oh, yeah, no worries.
The leader has disconnected. This call will now end.
I don't think you ever get an evaluation where they say, well, you seem to be doing fine, and we can't think of anything to improve, right?
You guys said it already, but best practices for performance measures and best practices for logic models, I think, are sort of
And, you know,
logic models suck, as we know.
Should this be ringing?
They're way too
good. I think we should be able to turn that off.
I hope so. I don't have my glasses physically on, so there's no possibility I could turn it off.
I've been called by various offices that could I come down and help them. They're going to sit down and have a little meeting and talk about performance measures. And what happens is when I arrive, they have this phrase.
Thank you.
And they're reworking the phrase.
It was ringing, so we figured
Oh, okay, great. That's great. Okay, let me turn this off.